Welcome to Forever Blue Shirts Radio, powered by ForeverBlueShirts.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Jean-Luc Shapiro, alongside Kevin Krupe and the wonderful creator of the Forever Blue Shirts website, Mr. Anthony Scultore. This is Forever Blue Shirts Radio. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for coming on today, and thank you, Ant, for joining us here today, the maestro of the site, the guy who, you know, gets it all done, puts it all out there. So welcome again. Before we move on, just want to say our cohort, Russell Hartman, is not with us today. He is under the weather, and we wish him the best of health, and we will see him next week. So,
Russell, don't eat bad McDonald's anymore in the morning. That's just a rookie mistake,
that's a
man.
That's a death sentence. What is this guy doing?
In New Paltz, of all places.
I know.
If you're going to get fast food at, like, the middle of the night, at least get it in the city where you know the rats wash their hands before and after using the bathroom.
Well, we don't want to get anybody upset now, because if there's one thing that we don't need is more people yelling at Ant for no reason. So, Mr. Bossman himself, what do you have on your mind? Lead us off with something that we can start to get into. Obviously, we got the
shit. Because I know there's definitely something you really want to talk about.
I mean, you got the Shesterkin news.
I can feel it.
You have the Shesterkin news. You have the something with Lea Sanderson going on recently. Give us your take on what's on your mind so far.
You think this is how this is going to go? Okay, sure. First off, hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in, downloading, and listening to Forever Blue Shirts Radio, powered by ForeverBlueShirts.com. My biggest pet peeve is these clowns get on week after week, and I have to wait and hope and pray that one of these guys literally remembers to go, plug the website that runs.
Well, I hate to interject on your rant.
I have plugged it before, though, the beginning.
Look, I hate to interject on your rant, but you do know that's in the podcast. It's there.
It's at the end. At the end, right, when everyone's tuned out. You think people are sitting there, what's this? Like, hey, see you next time. As soon as that end music starts, everyone's like, okay, next.
Well, actually, okay, it's right in between.
A little retweets now and then won't hurt when we say it's open.
You guys want retweets?
if we are powered by you, don't you want to spread the word
that there's
a new episode out every week?
Yeah, I do. I actually post it on the website. You know?
I don't know. I think people look at Twitter more than they look at the website.
No, they don't.
Well, to be fair, we do plug it. Yes, we do. It's at the end of the podcast. We did mention that to you.
He wants it at the beginning, apparently.
He wants it the second
you turn it on.
Okay, well, that's a fair assessment. If you want that to be the case, then I guess we'll just have to buckle down and do that.
I let you guys run with it, and I'm still going to let you run with it. But I'm here to really lace it to you. And by the way, Russell, you coward! How dare you, Russell? You knew I was coming, and you got sick?
Oh, man.
Are you serious? What is this, high school? What'd you get, like a zit? You didn't want to go to school today?
Are you kidding me? I just have to let him go. I have to let him go.
Russ knows how much I absolutely love him. He knows this. He knew, but he used his Hartman Jedi power to, like, Obi-Wan Hartman figured out, or Baby Yoda, whatever. He figured out that I was going to, like, kind of maybe, like, say something. Anyway, I've been ranting.
You're allowed.
You're allowed.
Right. There's an opening statement for every guest. They can talk about it, and there's your opening statement.
BlueShirts.com. It should open that way. You guys change the music. and played some, I don't know, 1992 Sega Genesis. I don't even know what that thing is. And I let you guys have it. And not a single soul has commented, hey, really cool new intro, but here I go. I feel like a 16-bit cartridge.
Well, to be fair, I mean, we're trying to toe the line between something really rocky and something really techno-y, I guess. We wanted to try and put both into one.
I'm sorry, I don't want to listen to really poor quality of intros from like a year ago where I'm hearing old calls. We have updated calls.
Yes. That's the one thing I wanted to make sure that was in there, was to put in new calls of new players. So
Don't you like how it opens now with our new president?
Oh, baby! You know, I made sure I put that in there.
You had to.
Of course.
Back and now you have to.
Got to throw a bone to the older generation. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, like, you guys always have your strong opinions. We might as well give you a little nostalgia here and there.
Of course.
Thank you both for doing the podcast, you know, and Russ too, and you guys do a nice job. You know, we need to pick up our numbers.
Oh yeah, no, that definitely. Where you told me
we're on a down spiral here in December, guys.
It's the hottest month for hockey.
It should
be higher. Well, now it's January, so it's new slate, new first podcast of the year.
If this is one of our top episodes, because I'm on it, you guys will hear it from me.
I hear it from you every day anyway.
That's true.
So
we're kind of more.
We're kind of exposed.
You'll personally
to it.
DM me. You're like, no.
Okay. Kevin. No. Stop currying up to the boss. Okay, this is not The Godfather where you have to ask him for something on the day of his daughter's wedding. Okay, Kevin.
He is The Godfather. I don't know what he does for a living.
Not
He's very private.
Now, one of you brought a cannoli. Not one.
I don't know how I can bring the cannoli through the webcam.
We'll have to use Smell-O-Vision.
People are going to want us to talk Rangers hockey.
Yes.
At some point, eventually.
Yeah, so let's do that a little bit.
Let me start with a question to you, Ant, that I asked before.
Look at Kevin taking charge, JL.
I did ask this before JL got here.
We came to a deal when we all started doing this together that each of us would have rounds of asking questions and interjecting as co-hosts, because that's what we are. We are co-hosts. We
Not
all do
a
this
single
together.
Host and two co-hosts.
It's us three.
Three co-hosts.
All right, frickin' frack. Let's go.
Frickin' frack. Here we go. I did ask you this before. A lot of Rangers are tired of this play. I'm personally tired of this play. Also, Brady Shea.
Yes.
Obviously, he's talking. He's got a big contract. Where do you see him at the end of the season?
Okay, I don't see him having a big contract.
No. He has a significant contract at the moment. Tony DeAngelo. He's not an RFA at the end of this year. He's not a UFA at the end of this year.
He's got an AAV of $5.25 million.
It's significant enough that might deter people based off of his play. That's what I'm trying to get at. Do you think that's a factor in trading? Do you think he's traded away at some point between this season and next?
Contract is an issue when it comes to trading him. Mm-hmm. So recently, on this little thing called foreverblueshirts.com.
Very small thing, apparently.
Yes, I actually wrote about our boy, Brady Shea. And my thought, and I'm pretty sure that the Rangers, looking at where they are and where they're going, they're likely not a playoff team. I know they'll push for the playoffs, and they'll take their time, they'll have some patience to make some decisions to where they stand by the time the trade deadline rolls around. But I think you have to give a hard, long look at what you can do with Brady Shea. So Brady Shea plays the left side along with Mark Stahl, Ryan Lindgren, and now injured and looking to come back, Libor Hájek. But when you look at who's coming possibly next year on the left side with Keandre Miller, you have to assume that he's going to be given a spot. You also have to admit that there doesn't look like any chance in hell Ryan Lindgren is coming out of this lineup. He's not only earned his spot, he may very well be one of our best defensemen.
Absolutely. I agree with
that. And he 100%. Also brings something to the game that some of our defensemen don't, and that is snarl. Only Jacob Trouba has snarl on the right side. He's got snarl. There are times D'Angelo will definitely show you that, but that's not D'Angelo's game. It's nice that he can chip in once in a while and, you know, throw the body or maybe even like, hey, get in somebody's face and throw some fists. That's cool. I'm good with it. But his game, he's most effective when he's passing the puck, head up, running some offense. No. Lindgren is going to stay. Stahl is probably not going anywhere. He's probably going to have to play out his contract next year. Libor Hájek, is the jury's still out. Is he really an NHL defenseman? I think so. I've seen enough to feel pretty good with him in there. Certainly doesn't have as much offensive game as Brady Shea does, and we should admit that Brady Shea actually has some decent offensive numbers.
His
turnovers come at some of the most inopportune times.
Just like the other night. I mean,
and his play in that is a little on the weak side. It's tough. He doesn't bring enough to the table offensively to compensate for what he's doing in the defensive zone. So you look at his age, he's still very young. He has a great contract up until 2024, guys. $5.25 million contract under the age of 30 as a defenseman is actually extremely attractive.
Well, that'd be a bargain considering the cap is going to go up in the next couple of years. But
no, my argument was just the fact that it was just so many, like, just like you said, the turnovers are coming at inopportune times. He's looked bad. Now, if you want to dive into deep metrics, yeah, everything else looks worse for the Rangers. But Brady Shea just is, like you've been saying, is the odd man out at this time because, you know, the contract looks better. But if his play is going to deter potential suitors, you might have to throw in more to get rid of him.
Now, if I could interject here real quick, if that's okay to...
It's not.
No, it's not.
No, sorry, Dale. Like you were saying, Ed.
Shut up. I'm talking to
you. No, but... You know, that being said, with his contract extending into basically the, you know, 2024, you said 2025 around there. Do you think that if the Rangers are trying to get a return for him now, do you think that will
be clear?
Do you think it'll the return coming back would be more or less because of the length of his contract and the amount of money on his contract? Because you would think a team that's maybe looking for someone who's a little more mobile might be able to throw a little bit more on the table to secure Brady Shea.
He's 25 years old. I think he has 17 points or 18 points in like 41 games. His numbers are, like I said, they're decent. I think, first off, I don't think that they're done with him. Shea can completely rebound and be the solid defenseman we know he could be.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people will point to Lindy Ruff and the defensive style that they play. It probably doesn't help him. And that could very well be the case. Lindy Ruff isn't going anywhere this season. He will be gone next summer. His contract is up. I'm pretty sure his contract is up. And he's already talked about being a head coach.
Yes.
So anybody who's worried about Lindy Ruff, I think they're just going to have to ride it out. He's here. He probably won't be next. Of course, that does raise the question, is Greg Brown ready to take over as the defensive coach? You know, how much of a say does Greg – what role does Greg Brown play? I mean, he was brought here to be as a defensive coach, and Lindy Ruff has taken that spot on the bench. So I don't know. It kind of sucks.
Do the defensive woes kind of, for this season kind of orchestrate a different picture where they go in a completely different direction, get someone outside the organization – for that.
I don't know.
Because you got to look at how, like, yeah, the defense looks great sometimes, and then defense looks like they're playing, you know, peewee hockey. It's embarrassing sometimes for the Rangers, but they are still a younger team. You can't put that always on, you know, them, but Brady Shea should be looked at as a veteran, and you got to give him at least the opportunity to play another season if Lindy Ruff is gone.
Let's say
Keandre doesn't. Let's say he stays another year after this. Let's say he doesn't come immediately. Let's say Nils Lundqvist does the same. Okay. Then you don't have that defensive problem.
What about, first off, Nils Lundqvist is on the right side, right?
No. I'm just saying defensemen generally.
Yeah. There's something else going on there. Nils is definitely going to make this team. Is it next year? Is it the year after that he's going to be on there?
Oh, 100%.
Here's the question. On the right side, you have Jacob Trouba. You have Adam Fox. You have Tony DeAngelo. One of those guys is going to have to play left defense. Because I'm not willing to just say, well, sucks for us. We have too many good guys on the right side, so let's trade one and not get real value. I'm all for, hey, Ryan Lindgren, Keandre Miller on the left, and maybe Tony DeAngelo or Adam Fox, who's really smart, one of the smartest defensemen we have. I think he transitions with ease over to the left side. And then on the right, you have Nils Lundqvist, Jacob Trouba, and Tony DeAngelo. And to me, that's your defense going forward. And if the right deal comes at the deadline for Brady Shea, and I don't know what the deal is. I'm only speculating, so I'm not. I'm just going to throw stuff. It won't make sense. But you do have Hugo Rykov playing pretty well down in Hartford. Give him a look. What you have Zach Jones in the future, right? Drafted Zach Jones. He's impressing a lot of people. So who knows? My point is, Brady Shea, if he's not moved at this deadline, and Elias Anderson hasn't been moved by this deadline, and that's potential. Wouldn't it make sense if you had an opportunity to package your first-round pick with Elias Anderson and Brady Shea to move into the top three if somebody was willing to make that deal?
Now do you hold on to him that long? A guy who's has requested a trade, obviously not all requests go, they're not taken.
He has no leverage.
Exactly. I'm not saying he does. And we
everywhere.
No.
He'll go when they're ready to trade him. And I expect him to be playing in the SHL as soon as next week.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of trades, you mentioned Elias Anderson, and we're mentioning Brady Shea. With the recent call-up of
How dare you take my point?
Igor Shesterkin. I'm so sorry, Kevin. You see, I'm doing my job of moderating here.
How
I'm trying
dare
to please
you?
The boss man over here.
I was going to segue into that perfectly.
But now that we're talking trades already, since we just jumped right into it, you look at the goaltending situation, like I just mentioned with Igor Shesterkin. The Rangers are currently running three goaltenders, and I don't think that's something that I've seen in my lifetime as of yet. But now with Shesterkin here, do the Rangers go forward with three goalies for the rest of the season? Well, hold on. Let me finish. Do they go? Oh, it's nice when the boss man just laughs at you when you're trying to make a point. That's great.
That's what they're gonna do.
It's not out of it. It's not out of the question because
what are they gonna play one game a week each?
No, but transitioning into my point, if Igor plays well enough in the little spots that he's here for, does this give the Rangers a little more sense of urgency to move Georgiev or even, in the wildest case, which I know will never going to happen, don't throw this at me, Henrik Lundqvist, because it seems as if they don't want Igor to go back to Russia. And I think this is kind of like kicking tires here.
They're not trading Lundqvist. The only way Lundqvist gets traded is if he actually comes out and says, I want to be moved.
Of course.
That's it. So I don't foresee Lundqvist doing that. Okay. Again, however, we know Henrik loves being a Ranger. We know he wants to stay here. He said all the right things. He'd like to retire a Ranger. Being in a three-goalie situation is not going to make him feel good. He's not going to play. I mean, it's just not a good situation, period. It's not. Three goalies, dressing as a backup, is not going to make him happy. And he's one of those guys, even as he's got older, that still plays better when he plays consistently. Yes. If this guy's playing once a week, that's going to be a bit of a problem. I'm gonna upset so many people right now.
You said gloves off, Ant.
Open the door. Here you go.
I like Georgiev. I do. I really do. I like him. I think he's a decent goaltender. Although I think a lot of what you see with him is a byproduct of Ben Wilder. Just like Cam Talbot, just like Antti Raanta, they were so much better here than they have been wherever they've gone.
So, I don't mean to throw this out, but he was an undrafted free agent for a reason.
Yes, it doesn't mean now, undrafted now that, agent isn't like cannot be a very good player.
No, I mean, we have the exceptions, of course, but more often than not, if you're not drafted, it's most likely you're not going to make an NHL roster.
Fair point, but go ahead.
It is, but again, he's more likely than not going to be traded by the deadline. They'll find the right suitor. It could be, matter of fact, with him, it could happen sooner than the deadline if Shesterkin plays a string of really good games right out of the gate. If they look at it and go, all right, there's really no reason for us to send them, you know, back to Hartford, then he'll stay. And I think that's what they want. At this point, I think that's what they want. They need a little new blood. They got to get him his reps. The Rangers, I believe, and this is another thing, and, you know, people on Twitter, I had asked them what, you know, they had asked me what playoffs, talk about Shea, talk about Lyons. We've already done all of that. In a firestorm fashion, we've already done all of that. But here's what I'm going to say. I like David Quinn. I know there's a lot of people out there in the camp that they think he's horrible. I think they're wrong. But the truth of the matter is, this is David Quinn's last year not to make the playoffs. If David Quinn doesn't make the playoffs next year or is failing to make the playoffs next year, I don't see David Quinn being here anymore.
Really? What makes you think that?
What makes me think that? Let me try it again. This is David Quinn's last year not to make the playoffs. You didn't sign Artemi Panarin at $11 million and Jacob Trouba to speed up this rebuild to not make the playoffs again next year.
Fair point. I agree with that 100%.
If you just look at last year to this year, they're already playing considerably better at the same time as they were last year.
Well, they're definitely a lot more offensively, you know,
sound,
savvy.
Are they really that much better than they were last year? Because if I remember correctly, last year they had a hell of a November and they were in the playoff spot. And this year they're teetering around 500.
Well, offensively, yes. I think they're better offensively this year.
It's not offensively. You're staring at Artemi Panarin and thinking they're better offensively. That's the only reason. Panarin is a fantastic – he's a superstar. They haven't had a player like him since Yager. And Strom is playing lights out of his mind. And Zibanejad is great too. But let's be honest with you. The rest of the team doesn't score well, and that's why they lose a majority of their games. They give up too much. They don't score enough in certain occasions. Vancouver, they couldn't muster another goal. They don't have a third line that can score.
No, and it doesn't help that Pavel Buchnevich really hasn't been playing up to the expectations everybody thought he would be playing at.
What about Kako? Honestly, I love Kapo Kako, but you know, I know he's a rookie, I know he's 18, but other younger players have excelled in these positions before. Now, you know, it's not an Edmonton situation, and he's not Connor McDavid, but, you know, him and Jack Hughes were pretty highly touted. He had some time on the first line. I'm still trying to figure it out. You can see the immense amount of talent. You know he's going to be there, but he still hasn't figured it out. There are games that he's still playing around the perimeter. There are games where he should be cutting to the net, and he decides, I'm going to just take a stroll around it or go behind the net again.
Or he doesn't take a shot, as you famously pointed out on Twitter.
Like I know that they're drilling it into everybody to shoot, and I think it's almost like it's just like a, like, I don't know if it's a sickness.
If you listen to Joe Micheletti, though,
they love to pass. They want to pass it into the net.
Even the media, their own media from MSG is getting tired of them not shooting. And when you reach that point from a team that praises you from the two guys that praise you the most, and they're saying shoot the puck more, it's a problem.
It's always been a problem, though. They're echoing what David Quinn wants them to do, too. Shoot the puck. That's why Jacob Trouba should be on the number one power play unit. Yeah. He shoots the puck. I love D'Angelo, but honestly, with D'Angelo pass first, Zibanejad pass first, Panarin pass first, Strom pass first. That's their mentality when they're out there, is to look for the open guy. And you wind up seeing six or seven passes, and then either it gets tipped out of the zone or they're just kept out to the perimeter and nothing happens. Or they score this beautiful goal where the goalie's like literally diving to get back in and they're like, wow, that was amazing. It's great. Yeah, I know. It happens once every 20 times. It's killing everybody.
Well, it's funny.
Trouba gets out there, he grips it, he rips it, and you get a rebound. And that's what you need on a power play. You have a man advantage.
Well, it's funny you mention, you know, the goalie getting taken out of his jock, because I was speaking to someone on Twitter. I don't know if it was someone in the chat or I saw this in passing. I can't really remember it. But the game against Ottawa, the second game of the season where they scored that tic-tac-toe goal that Zibanejad finally finished when they were going on the 2-on-1, that someone pointed out that was probably the worst thing that could happen to the team, solely based off the fact that they try to replicate that every single time, to add to your point. So now what you're starting to see is, just like against Calgary the other day, when, you know, once they gave up the 5-on-3 because they were being too passive, they immediately popped into power play goals because, again, they were shooting the puck, like you say. But
yes,
to touch on about Kako, just for the record, Andrei Svechnikov in his first season was stuck on the fourth line. And we look at the way he's been able to rebound this season. I'm in the firm belief that a lot of prospects don't exactly just jump ship and just every single one of them does well in their 18 season. You know, for Kako, I'm a little bit more understanding in the sense that he's still trying to acclimate. Yes, I know he's getting paid to play hockey and he's supposed to, you know, be here and do his job. But I think, at least with the current state that the Rangers in right now, it's better if he gets these lumps out now than if, you know, let's just say in the next year or two when they're really supposed to be contending. So I think, personally, he kind of gets a pass for me. Let him learn. Let him make whatever mistakes now. And then when crunch time really comes, you stick him into the fire, and I almost guaranteed he will already have it figured out. Because frankly, to me, out of all the young prospects I've seen the Rangers have so far that have come onto the scene, just by looking at the way he plays on the ice, which you mentioned with the tenacity, he's got for the most part, he's got great vision, he's got great hands. You know, once he finally figures out the size, he'll do well. He's done that a lot better in his now stage than I've seen other prospects. I mean, we all remember when Filippito came up. I hate to say it, but it was a train wreck. You know, Elias Anderson, same thing. When they were here the first couple of times, it was just kind of like, what's going on here? So I think Kako gets the benefit of the doubt solely based off the fact that you can see the flashes there. Someone mentioned, and this is a ridiculous concept and I don't agree with it, someone on Twitter, which is another ridiculous reason that it's ridiculous. It's someone said that they should send him down to Hartford. That is the dumbest thing that they could do at this point. So
jail, knock, knock. jail, knock, knock.
Yes.
No, knock, knock.
Who's there?
I don't care about Svechnikov or Twitter.
but you have to understand it's a fair assessment, though. I mean, if we're talking about prospects,
it's not like you throw him on like a competitive team right away and it's like, oh, great, now he's terrible, let's throw him down there.
I mean, that was, I get it. That was that sounded really good, JL, and everything. But I'm not calling out Kako individually. I'm saying that something's not happening here that I expected to already have happened by this point in time. We've seen flashes of it. We've seen games where he's shot the puck a lot. We've seen games where he cuts to the net. It's those games where he's in traffic, when he's driving to the net, that he is the most effective. But for some reason, whether that be coaching or the style of play that they're trying to set up on offense, who he's playing, something's not clicking on a night-to-night basis. Again, first year, 18 years old, I'm seeing all the makings of a superstar. I was hoping at this stage he'd have more goals and more points. We are at the midway point of the season, and there are still games where I go, man, where is this kid tonight? And I'm not saying, again, he's 18. I get it.
Plus, there's the language barrier. Plus, there's a lot of things that could go in his defense, and I'm not defending him at this point.
Hey, we're talking language barriers. Artemi Panarin doesn't speak English.
But he's also been in the league for three-plus years. He's also almost 10 years older than him.
Artemi Panarin was scoring since they got in the league, and he doesn't speak English.
Yeah, that is a fair point, Brandon, on Panarin. That is a very fair point.
But again, like you said, Panarin is a superstar.
Hold on. Stop. And Kako's going to be a better superstar. That's my feeling.
Great.
Stop. What I'm saying is the difference is his maturity. Panarin was, I think, 23 years old when he came to the NHL.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. Again, I don't care about the language thing, because Kako actually speaks pretty decent English. It's more so maybe not having family, and that's the real thing. it's not him, his inability to speak English. He speaks English better than some of his teammates. That's not the point. I'm talking about there are games where I'm pretty sure the Rangers are showing him tape. It just seems that when there are games where he gets out there and he's just, instead of driving to the middle, he starts to go around the net. And he'll do that two or three times. I'm going, someone's got to tell him he's not that guy. He's not Gretzky. He was not drafted by the Rangers to be a playmaker. He was drafted to be a goal scorer. That size, his strength, what he was able to display in Finland and in the international tournaments, that's what they want. And it's not easy because you run out of room quick in the NHL. Too many big guys, smaller rinks. But he's one of the biggest guys out there, and he's a horse. So all I'm saying is Kako's going to be great. Kako should not be sent down to Hartford. However, the Rangers decided to send him down for a week to get some confidence. I wouldn't be against it. They're not making the playoffs. And by the way, if they don't make the playoffs, he should absolutely be sent to Hartford to play in the playoffs.
See, that I would be behind because you give him more playing time. But I don't think sending him down there would really change anything.
Again, he's the type of guy that's got to play 20 minutes a night. The Rangers cannot give him 20 minutes a night. Okay? The Rangers can't afford to give him 20 minutes a night. Now, mind you, if they continue to fall out of the playoffs, they probably should reevaluate their first two lines and make sure he gets 20 minutes a night. I'm dead serious. I mean, making the playoffs. We're about 7 points out of the last wild card spot and it's not looking promising after, you know, three straight losses. And we're playing the Avalanche tomorrow?
I was literally just about to mention that. There goes any playoff hopes after that, unless Igor decides to be literally goaltender of the century and stop everything and become a brick wall incarnate.
I bet you, and again, I'm going to go out on a limb. Now, what really sucks is that this podcast, even though this game's not until tomorrow, won't be out until Wednesday.
Oh, boy.
So it's like we're playing like, you know, hockey domus right now. And so whoever's listening to this, here's my prediction, which when you listen, you go, wow, you got that right. Man, you're a ball. So at least it's like instant gratification at this very moment for you, the listener. But my belief is that with Shesterkin in net, the Rangers are going to pay more attention to the defensive zone and play a tighter, smarter game and surprise a couple of people and maybe squeak out a 3-1 win tomorrow. So that's what – or I'm totally dead wrong and they're going to get blown out of water like 6-2. But I'm actually leaning heavily towards playing a sound defensive game for the rookie in net, making sure he sees the puck, clearing the puck out and trying to capitalize on their, you know, on turnovers and on their man advantages. I don't think they'll play it loose and goose like they had, you know, on the West Coast trip, where there were times where they were really loose, you know, they were loose with the puck.
Unfortunately,
Edmonton and Calgary, they were
especially Calgary.
Oh, that Calgary game was a mess. But now, one final thing, or a couple of final things before we wrap up the podcast.
Podcast ends? You? You're not me. You. All right, good.
How about I tell you what it is right now, Ant? That's it.
JL says we're done.
We have you on more often, please? So the point I was going to make was, or am going to make right now, is you talk about the Rangers needing to give Kako more minutes, of course. Now, there's a couple of players that are in the way of that, which would be, one, Chris Kreider, two, Ryan Strome, and you can name a bunch of other players that they could potentially try and trade, quote-unquote, whichever how you feel would fit. So, do you think that the Rangers trade Kreider at the deadline, Strome at the deadline, or do you think they wait until the draft to move them? Because now you're looking at what kind of return can they get from
that's a deadline. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Kreider is going to be traded at the deadline. Strome is not going anywhere. The Rangers don't have depth at center. Elias Anderson didn't pan out. Is Filip Hedl really a number two center? Do we feel he's really – I don't know.
I think he's more of a winger, to be honest.
I think he's more – with that size, I think he's more of a winger. I think Strome should be the number two center, and I think you got to figure out what the hell you're going to do for a third-line center, because I think Howden is probably better suited as a fourth-line center. So there's a center question for the Rangers. They still don't have what I think is enough depth down the middle. You know, obviously, Elias Anderson is gone. Strome should definitely be here, and I definitely like Strome as a 2C right now. I don't see why you shouldn't be paying him. But that's it. You want to talk about Kreider? Gone at the deadline. You're not trading him at the draft, because that's not helping. You want teams that are trying to go for the cup. They look at Kreider and go, I need to beef up for the playoffs. He's the type of guy I want. What do you need? First round draft pick. All right, you got 2-3 suitors. All right, you need a first round draft pick. You need a mid tier prospect. Oh, you want a first and a second. All right, I can do a first and a third. And if he resigns with us, I'll give you a second. So it's conditional. That's what's happening. The Rangers aren't making the playoffs, and Chris Kreider signing for 5 or 7 years here at $7 million when he's in his 30s, you'll all be screaming just like you are about Mark Stahl, Dan Girard. It's the same story, so time to move on.
I love you so much, because no one can get it in their mind that Chris Kreider, once he gets past 30, it's no longer the same player he is.
Look, listen, I'm agreeing with both you guys.
Nash did not last as long as we wanted him to.
Look, I'm on that train. I agree with you guys. I loved
both of them. They're just not feasible.
Kreider is a 25 goal scorer. He's got these flashes where people think he could be a 40. I know. I thought he was going to be a 40 goal scorer. He had all the tools, but for some reason, 25 is his limit, man. That's his limit on Snitz and Grubens, man. That's
like, he forgets that he's big when he's fast, and he forgets that he's fast when he's big.
It's not even that. It's just this is who Chris Kreider is. He's a heck of a hockey player. He's a top six player who gives you some secondary scoring. He's a perfect second line winger. He's great for the playoffs. He stands in front of the net. He does all the right things. Anybody who's going to go for a cup, this is the type of guy you should have on your team. The Rangers are not ready to go for a cup, giving him a big contract. And somebody was like, Rangers don't have leaders, and guys are going to him. Guess what? If Kreider's not there, guys will be going to Zibanejad. They'll be going to Panarin.
Lundqvist.
Truba. Truba's going to be wearing a letter permanently soon. I can tell you that right out.
Well, he did wear it this season. So
himself. If we'd be kidding ourselves if you didn't look at Jacob Truba and see captain material. Okay? I truly believe it belongs to Zibanejad, but you never know. Just a question from Twitter. We answered the three goalie rotation. I did mock somebody. Was that you, JL?
Yes, of course it was me.
Immediately mocked, which was great.
But are we going to see Kravtsov? Yes, we're seeing Kravtsov.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Once Kreider's gone, he's right up here.
And then he's going to go back and play in the playoffs for the pack. But we should be also seeing Kravtsov. We need to get a good look at him. And, you know, he needs to be playing 15 minutes minimum a night. So they got to figure that out.
All right.
Don't worry, though. The lineup's going to get really empty soon.
Well, definitely a lot of good points made there. And it definitely puts into perspective the season that they've had and what could come. Because I think now this is a focal point in the rebuild, as was the summer. So with that being said, Kevin, would you like to interject anything or say any couple of words before we leave?
Oh, yes. I have a few words. This was powered by ForeverBlueShirts.com.
You stole my thunder. I was just about to do that.
Just in case nobody knew after, you know, it's on the site and on Twitter and everything.
Kevin gets to keep his job.
Thank you. Thank you so much. No, but last thing, the Rangers, they have the flashes.
The last thing?
No. This is the last thing. I was being sarcastic, and now this is the last thing. I get two. I get sarcasm, and I get real. The Rangers have all the tools. We see the flashes. I love it. It's great. It's just they're a year away. And I completely agree with you when you said that Quinn's literally last year is next year. He's got 3 years. The first two is develop these guys. The last year's put it all together, and they have the makings. They have Panarin. They have Truba. They're going for it.
Yeah,
they got it. They can make the playoffs or smell it to the point where it's like right in their face.
I don't expect them to win the cup next year, but definitely make the playoffs. You can't win the cup unless you make the playoffs. So
I definitely see them using all the pieces they got in the last 2 years and packaging something for a top pick if they don't get within the top 10 for the draft. But they have a lot. Quantity leads to quality in some cases. And if you just want to throw some decent prospects and some picks at someone, you could get a top 10 pick, maybe, possibly. Nobody knows, but
true.
All good points made. And we'll definitely I don't mean to belittle you, Kevin.
it sounded like you're kind of
JL, you are the most polite belittler of all time.
Well, you did say that when I did reach out to you one time. You said I was very formal. So
yeah, and polite.
Formal but an ass.
But that being said, Anthony, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and embracing us with your thoughts and
belittling us.
And belittling us. But truth be told, in all honesty here, I'm sure Kevin will echo my sentiments here and Russell the same. We thank you for the opportunity to do this, and we appreciate that you have allowed us to use your platform to express our thoughts and feelings about the New York Rangers as well. So we appreciate that, and we appreciate you coming on as well. I know he's probably dying laughing right
now. That's it. He's knocking out. It's past 8 o'clock. Papa Tilt needs to go to sleep.
Oh, we got
to. Don't forget to take your multivitamin.
We got to give him the Metamucil. Oh, no.
I just want to say, I utterly failed tonight.
Why is that?
I thought I could maybe at least once get JL to the point where he had to take out his inhaler. I thought I would like I really try to put on my biggest jerk mode. I try to be such like a sarcastic jerk. I really, really tried.
Really good without cursing too.
Yeah, no, I you know how I feel, guys. I feel like we should be
No. I'm saying you did well. And you didn't need a curse.
If you need to use four-letter words to make a point and to try and be funny, then you probably suck at what you do.
Absolutely.
I know there's some other Ranger podcasts or other hockey podcasts, like Sean Avery's podcast. Have you guys heard that?
No, I haven't.
Other God, what is that? Anyway, I'd love to have Sean Avery on, though.
That would be great. Definitely
meet one on one with Sean Avery. He'd probably like, yeah, who the hell are you? But and he'd be right.
You'd have to get on a scooter to interview him while he's going down.
The only way I could get him on my podcast is if I was driving the wrong way on my bicycle in the city or in some crap.
And you knock into him and he curses you out, and then he does the podcast at that moment.
By the way, his podcast is literally his Instagram account.
what I've heard.
He doesn't have anybody to yell at, so he just yells at. He's randomly yelling at anything anyway. But anyway, just really quick, I appreciate what you guys do. Keep the good job going. You guys have a nice rapport with each other. You, Russ, Kevin, JL, I'll mention you by name so that way people don't go, who the hell is you? but keep it up. Good job. I would personally, listen, I think we could be a better podcast. I know you guys like to get up and get on and kind of chat with each other, and that works. And this is what we just did now too, so I'm easily to blame. I truly believe for us to be one of the top podcasts, you know, we have some stiff competition and they are already ahead of us. We've got to bring some more production value to the show. We have to have segments. You got to have audio snippets of something. I don't care if it's clown gong banging crap in the background. I don't care if it's just like weird little sound bites. We do need to elevate our game. And that's how I feel. I think the fans who listen to this deserve that. They deserve better. And, you know, I'm considering doing a podcast myself, and so that way we actually have a podcast going every week. I know you guys you're on a 2 week, right? And I'm thinking to do two weeks.
Every week.
It's just the holidays.
Yeah, that's why
we.
That's why it was a little off.
Jeez, man, that's how unmemorable you guys are.
I guess you're right.
Holy crap! You guys are doing this crap every week.
In our defense, we've only really started doing every week, like. 2 months ago,
I know we have listeners. I know we do. I just think we've got a plateau. We haven't broken.
You know, the listeners can retweet us every once in a while too. Yeah.
But why would they retweet unless they want like if I was a listener, I'd be like, hey, you guys have trouble sleeping? Check out this podcast. That's what I would do.
Wow. Well, with
have
that,
insomnia?
Well,
try
with
this.
That being said,
better than white noise.
Before we go, I just want to say we thank you for your feedback, and we thank you for your comments. And,
did someone tell JL to stop being nice?
No.
Can you me?
You're
just
sucking the fun out of
me. Okay, you
JL.
Want me to be mean? Okay, I can't.
Yeah.
I have no reason to be mean right now. Why should I be mean? I have no reason to be mean right now. I was just going to say that a lot of what you just mentioned are things that I currently am trying to put together right now. I just
he actually
sure.
has been talking to this to me at nauseam.
Yes.
So, you know, now Kevin's I'm just hearing it again from you,
Kevin,
which means it me. Now I have to do it.
Yeah, Kevin's
because I heard
Squidward,
it from Ann personally.
So that's why.
Anyway, I want all, like I said, I want you guys to be the best. I want people to listen to you guys because I know you guys know your stuff. I know you're passionate Ranger fans, you're passionate hockey fans. I believe we approach it professionally. I think Russ is one of the, you know, more knowledgeable fans I've dealt with, and I feel like Russ is a natural at being a host. I'm not no offense, JL. I just there's something about Russ's voice and the way he runs it. He does a good job. So
who stuffed Russell's ego more, Ant? Jeez.
Oh, man.
Wait, we'll see if he actually listens to the podcast
just,
while he's not here.
Shooting up McDonald's. He's too afraid to come on. I'm literally trying to throw an olive branch to say, Russ, I'm sorry.
I guess I'll just throw out my broadcasting degree then. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Anthony.
He basically said, you know, Russ is great, but Ant, you, but
so
JL, you really suck.
JL to break out. I can't. He's still polite.
He's basically saying, JL, your broadcasting degree doesn't mean anything.
Okay, they're tired of hearing us go back and forth and compliment and harass each other.
All
Let's
right.
end it there.
Okay.
The end.
Kevin,
let's go Rangers.
Yes, Kevin, say it again one more time.
Let's go Rangers.
You've been listening to 4B Radio, powered by ForeverBlueShirts.com.